You are listening to the podcast of Lancaster Covenant Church. We seek to worship God, tell others about Jesus Christ, nurture new believers, and grow together in the knowledge and love of our Savior.
This morning. Happy Resurrection Day. Sorry about that, Estelle. If you'd like to turn on to your bulletins, we'll do just a few announcements before we get on with our worship service. Next Sunday, we'll be having our special Blue Water Sunday. We have Chad will be here. I'm not sure if Mike is coming, but Chad will be here for our Blue Water Sunday. We are also doing, is it a pizza party after that? No, Julie?
I'll be contacting parents of those who attended camp last year.
Okay.
Bringing food, and it will be a free will offering that will help support Blue Water food.
Okay. For our portion, okay. So Julie will be contacting you. If you had kids at camp last year, she'll be getting a hold of you and figuring out the meal, and there will be a free will offering that will be taken to help support our sending our kids to camp. So please come out for that. That is next Sunday. Also, we need a lot of help for VBS this year, so please volunteer for that. Do we have anything to say about that this Sunday or not? Maybe not. We'll save that for next Sunday.
Meeting's going on next Sunday.
I think that was Dan Vogley. Oh, yeah. Love it. Okay, we have a bridal shower. We are celebrating. Shelby Diamond will be having a bridal shower. That'll be in the fellowship hall. That is Saturday, May 4th at 10 o'clock, and everyone is welcome. I'm not sure if the guys are welcome to that, are they, or not? Everybody's welcome, even the men. So if you come, Olaf, we'll be there too. Just let me know. Otherwise, I'm not showing up. I've been to a baby shower once. Not a wedding shower, but a baby shower, and I was the only guy invited. It was a little awkward. Okay, National Day of Prayer is May 2nd. If you would like to come out for that, we'll be having the church open all day that day and having a 7 o'clock service that evening. Also, to look ahead, we have Confirmation Sunday coming up May 5th, Spring Cleaning, I can't forget that one, April 29th, and then our last day of Sunday School is the 12th of May, and Baccalaureate, we are hosting that this year, and that is May 19th. Any other announcements this morning that I might be forgetting? I do have one that I'm going to bring up. There is a training that is called Sharing the Hope, and it's one I would love to attend, but I can't attend. It was brought to me. It's going to be in Fargo, and that is to help. It's by the jail chaplains. It's called Living Free Community. It's how to reach out to those who are incarcerated and have been trying to start a new life. And I would love to see if we could have a couple of people go. We would make sure that everything was taken care of for that. So please let me know if you're interested. It is May 3rd and 4th. I have a wedding down in Thief River Falls that day for Amber. So I won't be able to go, but I would sure love it. If you are interested at all, please let me know. And I have the information on it. If you have ever felt called to jail ministry of any kind, this is going to be a good training. And it's something that we will bring back here and continue to teach it, but we need to do the training first, otherwise we won't be allowed to do it. So let me know if you're interested. And that is May 3rd and 4th. It's in Fargo, out at Bonanzaville. Motel rooms will be covered as well. So whatever you could, if you feel led to do that, please let me know. Anything else this morning before we move on? Okay. We are going to do prayer and scripture. And Sue, I think I'm actually going to just have you do the prayer. And I'm going to save scripture for my message time. Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, we once again come before you with our requests. You are our ultimate healer, our ultimate leader. Everything that happens in our lives, you are responsible for, and we thank you for all of it. We pray for Seth and Renata as they await the birth of this baby. We pray that the delivery will be easy and will go well, and we just pray that this baby is just letter perfect, and we also pray that this will come soon. These last days in a pregnancy get to be really hard, and so we just pray that this labor will come very soon. We pray for Renee as she prepares for surgery this week. And Lord, you know what has to be done, and you know how her body will accept this procedure. So we just pray that all goes well. We pray that the surgeons have the skill needed to complete what needs to be done. We pray for our seniors as they head out on this wonderful class trip, and it's definitely a memory maker. We pray that all goes well and everybody behaves I know so many times we have heard how well-behaved our young people are from here, and we just pray that this continues and they have a wonderful, memorable trip. We pray for so many that are battling cancer. We have just so many in our community that we know, and then we have loved ones that battle with this, and we pray that something new will be found for Janet to help her with this struggle. We pray that as Ross starts now this radiation, that his body will accept that and that will go well. Ultimately, Lord, we ask that you just step in and lay your hands on these two and take this cancer away. We thank you, Lord, for the good report on Jake. It's just wonderful to know that he is fine and going to remain that way, and we just thank you for everything. Thank you for giving the skill to the doctors to help him. Just thank you for everything that's involved with this, and we're just so blessed that this report came back so good. Lord, we thank you for this glorious day. What a special day this is when you have risen, and we just thank you for everything in our lives. In your precious name, amen.
Thank you, Sue. If we could have the ushers come forward for the offering today, and we have our first group of special music. We have, I don't know, there's a whole bunch of girls coming up. Faye's girls is what I call them. Granddaughters are going to do special music. Thank you, Edie, Lauren, Cameron, Gracie. Wow. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for opportunities to come together and worship you, Lord. Help us to never take that for granted. And so, Lord, we ask that you'd bless this offering and that you'd guide us, Lord, as we worship you today. We pray that you'd be glorified and that you would be lifted up. We pray that all in Jesus' name. Amen.
I believe I overcome.
continue our worship, so please stand and join us. We'll sing Death Was Arrested.
Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope and no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in when death was arrested. Dance.
Lord, for the sacrifice that you gave on the cross. We just crown you, Lord, with all the glory and honor of everything in our lives, Lord, and everything that is coming in our lives. We just pray, Lord, that you will open our hearts and our minds just to surrender to you, Lord, and just to thank you for what you've done. And we just thank you for the guidance you give us, Lord, and we just pray that you'll open our hearts and minds each day. And Lord, I just pray for the rest of the service that you just guide Galen with his words and the rest of the music and everything. We just thank you for your love. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Son of God hanging on a hill. Hell was my destiny. The crowd was shouting, crucify. Could have come from these lips of mine. The dirty shame was killing me. It would take a miracle to wash me clean. Then I read the red letters, and the ground began to shake. The prison walls started falling, and I became a veins. My dead heart began to beat. Breath of God filled my lungs, and the Holy Ghost awakened me. Yeah, the Holy Ghost awakened me. Then I changed my destiny. Thank you, God, for red letters when the ground began to shake. The grace of God started falling, and I became a free man that day.
Thank you, Savannah. Thank you, Savannah. I think I'm, am I on yet?
How about now? Thank you, Savannah. Praise God. Assurance of your word. The assurance of your promise. We're so thankful. We thank you, God, for how you speak to us through the words of music, and we hear from you. We thank you, God, for the red letters, God, that have been written for us. Words that come alive in our hearts. So speak to us today, Lord, as we celebrate you rising again. And we pray and look forward to the day when you will return one more time. We can be with you forever, and we praise you and thank you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I do have my little clicker up here, Cora, so. Jesus said to Martha, after Lazarus had died, he'd already been in the tomb. John 11, he said to Martha, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. When I thought of writing a message this morning, and I thought, it was kind of odd because I thought about things in our life, the plans that we lay out sometimes, how hard they are to follow through. I thought, man, I want to preach about just all the good stuff and all the fun stuff of Easter, celebrating the resurrection of our Lord, and yet God calls us to something much deeper. And as I opened up my emails this morning, I saw the news of the bombings that were going on in churches in Sri Lanka. And first it started out at 138 dead and 500 injured, and now that they're saying it's climbed to over 200. Easter Sunday, the attack on God's people once again. I thought maybe that's why this message starts out the way it is. So as you think back in your life, when you laid out plans and you worked hard and you set goals and you prayed about it and you felt like everything was in place and then those plans fail. And life seems to be falling apart and your heart is aching and you wonder what's going on. And you begin to have doubt and you begin to have fear. You begin to get frustrated and confused because you had a plan. That's where we find the disciples. We find them as Jesus is arrested, right up to the point of crucifixion and in the tomb and then hiding in the upper room, wondering, I thought this was God's plan. I don't understand it. And it's hard to understand. It's hard to get a hold of it. And then we hear about Peter. And I can imagine all the thoughts as the disciples were hiding out in the upper room and they were wondering and playing over the events of what just took place. And I can only imagine what Peter was playing back in his mind, how Jesus taught about the rich man and about the camel going through the eye of a needle, and how hard it would be for people to come to the kingdom of God or to be saved. And Peter even says this to Jesus. He says, "But Lord, we have left everything to follow you. Everything." And they had, the disciples had left their homes. They left their families. They left their jobs. They left everything to follow Christ. Now you can imagine the disciples' families and what they thought about them leaving everything behind to follow this guy. We heard that in Mark 3:21, even Jesus' family came to get him and they said, "We need to take him home because he's out of his mind." This is the family of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This happened right after he appointed the 12 disciples. The disciples believed that Jesus was the hope of the nations. They believed that God had promised them a deliverer, and Jesus was that deliverer. But they were following their plan. They thought he was going to deliver them from Rome, thought he was going to deliver them from persecution. But in Matthew 16:16, Peter took it even further and himself had declared that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I'd like to read that scripture to you before we go to our slides. If you'd like to turn to Matthew 16, I'm going to start in verse 13 and read through 28. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say that you're Elijah, and still others think you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what are you? What about you?" Jesus asked. He said, "Who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "Well, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. I will give you the keys to bind on earth what will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And then he warns his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. Those are some of the thoughts that they would have been having in this upper room. But then they witnessed the Son of God being stripped and scourged and mocked and beaten, and they witnessed humiliation. And they were gripped in fear. They witnessed Jesus hanging on the cross. They watched him die. And they didn't understand. The plan that they had was coming to an abrupt end. Marching in, coming in on a donkey last Sunday, to being crucified on Friday. And yesterday, as we know, as many of the churches call it, Silent Saturday. Can you imagine the feelings that were going on during Silent Saturday? What went wrong? So I want you to think about the hardest day that you've ever had in your life. Can you sense a little bit of what the disciples must have been feeling when the plans that you had laid out seemed to fail? Jesus was supposed to reign. He was to be the promised Messiah. What went wrong? But God had a plan. And that plan was coming to completion. The disciples just didn't understand the plan, the path that was going to be taken. The disciples felt this was the end, but it was just the beginning of their journey as disciples of Jesus Christ. They would truly what it means to leave your family, your jobs, and follow Jesus. And that brings us to a new beginning, to see God unfolding his amazing plan of salvation for us, for you and me. So let's continue. Now, after Jesus had died, there was no place to bury him. Jesus didn't even have a tomb. So as evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea. His name was Joseph, and he was a member of the Sanhedrin. In Luke, says there now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision or action. He came from the town of Judea, a Judean town of Arimathea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, that would be Friday, and the Sabbath was about to begin, that would be yesterday. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. Now early in the morning and on the first day of the week, the women come back to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body, which they saw was there. But when they arrived at the tomb, the stone was rolled away, and Jesus' body was gone. And now it gets exciting. Luke 24, 1 through 8. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered it, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." And then they remembered his words. The angels say, "He's alive. Don't you remember? He told you himself that he would be betrayed and would be killed and would rise again. Don't you remember?" And we see from verse 8, it says they remembered his words. They needed to be reminded. And so the women hurried back to the disciples to tell them the news, but the disciples, as we know from Scripture, didn't believe them. Do you blame them? They watched him die. Their Messiah was dead. And they were confused and they were afraid that they couldn't hear the promise of the resurrection was being fulfilled right before their eyes. Their hope was gone, or so they thought. When I think about that, I think of situations in my life when I laid out my plans and I think, this is where my life is headed. I don't know if you've been there. Have you been there when things seem to come to an end, an abrupt end? You say, "God, I thought this is what you wanted for me. I don't understand it." Some of the problem is that we're so busy looking at our plan, we don't look to what God has in store for us. And so we get caught up in the moment of disappointment and being let down. And you find yourselves fixing your eyes on the problem instead of on Jesus Christ. We read that Peter, however, must check out this report for himself. He wanted to be sure, and so Peter got up and he ran to the tomb. Bending down, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. He doesn't see Jesus. He doesn't encounter the angels, but he sees something that the women didn't even mention, the strips of linen cloth just laying there. The grave clothes were there, but his Lord wasn't. And Peter still did not understand, and he left the tomb confused and wondered what happened. Why were Jesus' grave clothes still there? Where's Jesus? In verse 13, Luke shifts the scene to two followers of Jesus who are on the road to Emmaus, and they too had seen Jesus die. They too had heard of the reports that the women had concerning the empty tomb. And so they're discussing this as they're on their 2 to 3 hour walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And Jesus approaches them, and he hears their conversations, and he asks about them, about it. So I'm going to read to you from Luke 24, verses 13 through 17. It says, "Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, What are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. And one of them, named Cleopas, asked him, 'Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?' And Jesus says, 'What things?' 'About Jesus of Nazareth,' they replied. 'He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as a woman had said, but him they did not see.'" As I read that passage, I thought to myself, what was Cleopas thinking and his partner? And what state of mind would the disciples be in at that time? You hear of their lost hope, you hear of their doubt. In their minds and in their understanding, their Messiah, their future king, wasn't supposed to die, but he died. And their plans seemed to be at an end. The tomb was empty, the clothes were left there. And if there is a report that he's alive, why didn't Jesus come to us first? We were his disciples. Is he really alive? What does Jesus say to them? Jesus comes in and he says to them, how foolish are you? He says this to Cleopas, "And how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." I'd like to pause here for a moment and think, you know, up until this point in Luke's gospel, there has been no report of anyone seeing the risen Christ. Cleopas and his friend had now seen him, but didn't even recognize him. They did not believe Jesus was alive. They were acting just like we do sometimes in our hard times and the things that we go through. It's so easy to get caught up in the discouragement and feeling sorry for ourselves. That we miss what's really happening. And we find ourselves losing hope and not believing. And in our humanness, it's so easy for us to lose sense of hope, isn't it? The disciples have already been given 3 pieces of evidence of God's faithfulness to fulfill his promise so far. They had the scriptures proclaiming the coming of the Messiah. They had Jesus himself telling them that he would be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and in 3 days would rise again. And now they had the empty tomb. The broken body of Jesus was no longer there. And it's easy for you and me to say, why didn't they believe? They had so much evidence. Why didn't they understand what Scripture was saying? Why didn't they remember what Isaiah said, that the Son of God would come and that he would die, and yet he would still see his offspring? In other words, he would live again. Jesus himself had told them that he would suffer and die and rise. This all had to happen. This was the completion of the prophecy of the coming Messiah. This wasn't the end, this was the beginning. You know, sometimes God gives us windows to see where we're headed. He gives us glimpses into his plan for our lives. And yet it's hard for us to see and believe. So what opened the eyes of Cleopas and his companion? What opened their eyes? Luke 24, reading on in verse 28. As they approached the village to where they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over." And so he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the Scriptures to us?" In verse 36, the disciples were in the upper room at this point. Cleopas and his companion had come to them and they said, "It is true, the Lord is alive." So while they were in the upper room, they were still talking about this. And all of a sudden, Jesus himself stands among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And they were startled and frightened, thinking that they saw a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see, a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" Don't you love it? He gave them a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and he ate in their presence. And he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the Scriptures. Jesus opened their minds. You can see, apart from Christ, we can do nothing. We can't even believe in Christ until he opens our minds. And then in faith, we can believe. Even our faith in God is a gift from him. It is not of ourselves. And so what is that for us? We don't see Jesus physically today. Our situation is kind of like Cleopas before he recognized Jesus. We have all these pieces of evidence before us. We have the Scriptures that tell of the resurrection. We have the promise of his return. We have the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And we have the evidence of God's handiwork all around us. And so we wait for Jesus to come again, physically. And suddenly, Scripture says, in the twinkling of an eye, we will then see Jesus. For years, critics have tried to discount the reports of the resurrection. These critics have heard things like all the disciples had a vision all at the same time. That's harder to believe than anything. Luke clearly tells us quite differently. First of all, the disciples weren't hopeful. They'd already given up hope. They were hiding in the upper room, scared that the next cross would be theirs. They did not anticipate the resurrection. They were skeptical about the first report. The report of the empty tomb and Jesus quoting scripture on the road to Emmaus to Cleopas and his friend was still not proof enough. But we have the advantage, don't we? We are far on the other side of the cross. We are given the Holy Spirit when we come to him. We have the evidence. We have the promise of Christ's return for us today. Jesus is risen and he is coming back. He is alive and he is living and he is active and he is powerful. Apart from Christ, there is no hope. There is no evidence for our salvation and no promise of eternal life without the cross. Jesus is the one who conquered sin and death once and for all. I pray this morning that if you don't know Christ in a very personal way, that is so different than just knowing a lot about God or his word. It's way different than being just a fan of Jesus. It's talking about being a friend of the Son of God, the living Son of God. I pray that if you don't know Christ in that personal way, I pray that you would look at the evidence that God gives you. I pray that he would increase your hunger for his word. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish and have everlasting life. That is God's hope for you. Salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. God told the Israelites during their exile that he had a plan for them. He had a plan. Jeremiah 29:11-13. Jeremiah prophesies and he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Living this Christian life is not one thing. You keep a foot in both worlds. It requires you to go all in. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So many times you can read scripture and you can take it wrong and you think, well, then salvation, I must have something to do with it. You don't. When God calls you, he changes you. It says he takes out that heart of stone and gives you a heart of flesh. He gives you a faith. He helps you understand who he is. If he did not reveal that to you, you would have no salvation and no hope. It's when he opens your mind, he changes your heart, and you come to him. When you seek his face, when you turn from your wicked ways, he said, "I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land." Those are just beautiful scriptures that speak about surrendering completely to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's when your life changes. That's when your new life begins. Begins with surrender. Just as God promised the Israelites that he had a plan for them, he promises that he will complete it for us. Jesus promised the disciples that he had a plan and he would complete it. He was not about to leave his disciples in the upper room, and he's not about to leave you where you're at today. You see, God gave us a hope and a future, and that hope and that future is found only in Jesus Christ. He gave up his life so that we would trust him with ours. That's his hope for you. He took your sins to the cross so you didn't have to. I'm going to have Lisa come up and end our time before, and then we'll share in communion together. She's going to sing Power of the Cross for us. Listen closely to the words. Thank you, Lisa. I'd have the diaconate come forward, and we will share in our time of communion together. We have an open communion table here, so if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you are more than welcome to share in communion with us this morning. Father, we thank you that you would love us so much that you would send your Son into the world, that he would take all our iniquities, all our sins, and bear them on the cross for us, so that we would have a way to you, Lord Jesus, the only way. The only way to the Father is through the Son. That is your word. We praise you for that. We thank you that salvation does not depend on us, but that it is a gift from you. And so we pray the prayer that you've taught us to pray today as your children. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. For our closing song, I had a request for this one song, and I think it's a perfect way to close today's service out. I'd like you to stand and sing along. Forever.
The moon and stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon him. Forever.
sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah.
Father, thank you. We thank you for all that you do and all you provide each and every day for our lives. And we look forward to that day when he will come again. We praise you and thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Lancaster Covenant Church podcast. For more information on gathering times and the Lancaster Covenant Church community, please visit our website at lancastercovenant.com.